Well, this week we're going to look at a couple of psalms. And I had asked Bill to put in a song for this week because one of the songs that we did was inspired by the beginning of Psalm 42. And it's As the Deer, which I think is a favorite of a lot of people. Well-loved song, sometimes drags along, and as Bill kept the tempo up. And I think the reason that it's a psalm that a lot of people like is because it brings out some strong imagery. When you think of this idea of as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living water. Where can I go and meet with God? I think it brings up some images, maybe some of them from seeing pictures that get put along with slides of the song. But what do you think of when you think of these lines? Is it the picture that Kathy put on the slide? Do you think of this deer drinking? Well, if you do, you're not alone. I did an image search on As the Deer, and the first one that came up was this. Another deer. Popular to put a fawn on there, it seems like. A deer drinking. That was the first image that came up. In fact, the first handful of images are pretty much all the same. You have a deer in or next to water and drinking. And it's a nice picture. But as I was thinking about this song, and as I was reading this psalm and the words that follow, because the song As the Deer only takes that opening couplet, do any of these deer look thirsty? Do any of these deer seem to be panting in need of water? You know, for them to need water, they first have to take their face out of it, right? Now, we get the idea of why this sort of picture is used, because we say if we are seeking God the way a deer seeks water, then when the deer gets to the water, then it gets the same relief, that same feel that we get when we feel the presence of God. But I can't help but see in the psalm that never seems to get to the water at that point. It's talking about still being thirsty. So this may be overdoing the point, but when you think about panting, which of these dogs are panting for water? Right? You may not think anything, but say, we're singing As the Deer, and here's a deer with his face stuck in a stream. But here, if I said, is the dog on the right panting for water? You see? No. It's drinking water. The one on the left, that's a thirsty-looking dog. Right? Slide probably was unnecessary, but it was fun. In this psalm, and actually we're going to talk about 42 and 43 together because they seem to be one literary unit, and we'll talk about why here. In this psalm, it's not expressing, you know, how nice it is to get a drink. So I've had my water, and that's how I feel right now. It's saying, I need God. And I'm seeking God and panting for God in the same way that the deer or this thirsty dog on the left is. Recently, Jared has been really into nature documentaries. And from time to time, you see an animal, you follow an animal desperately seeking water. Right. Usually that ends well. Better for the thirsty ones than for some of the ones. We were watching one this week. There was a really fascinating scene of a wolf chasing down a baby caribou. I don't want to spoil how it went, but let's just say it cut away very quickly at the end of it. Poor, poor baby caribou. But, you know, we get this idea of the animal looking, wandering, searching for that water. And that's what we see in this psalm from the author. So let's work through this psalm. We're gonna read all the way through 42 and 43. They're not very long. And we start with this familiar idea. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This is the image that the songwriter found value in. But whereas the song goes and talks about how nice it is to find God, here's where the psalm says, where the psalm goes. It says, I'm looking for God like water. I am thirsty. My soul is thirsty. But my tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? I'm looking for a drink, but the only thing I have are my own tears. Kind of goes a little different direction than the song does, right? It's talking about this desire and this need for God, but it's also talking about the absence. It's talking about what it's like to not be able to find, for one's soul to not be able to find that relief. Tears have been my food day and night. And in this longing for God, so the psalmist remembers the things of God, remembers the time where God's presence felt close. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of the Lord under the protection of the Mighty One. But now, and the reason we say 42 and 43 seem to be read together, because this phrase shows up twice in 42 and a third time in 43. So it seems kind of like a three verse with a chorus set up. It said, before I remember going to the house of the Lord and feeling restored to my soul, but now, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. There is hope. It said, I'm going to praise, but right now, I just feel so low. I don't know if you know this feeling. If you know this thirsty deer feeling, we would like the resolution to come fast. We want to say, and then he found the Lord and things were good. But unlike the song, the psalm keeps the suspense. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs with his love, At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And yet, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? That's a pretty significant statement to be able to make. We have hard times, but to feel forgotten by God is a deep hurt. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This continues to ask this question, why is my soul so downcast, as it goes through all of these reasons? And so that's the end of Psalm 42. But like I said, it seems like Psalm 43 picks up on the same idea. It uses this same chorus, refrain, a better musical term, uses the same refrain as it's going through, sorting through these feelings. And so 43 turns its attention to plead for God. 42 talks about the seeking, talks about the times in the past where he's felt God's presence and where he's trying to find it again. And 43 turns to God and asks, vindicate me, my God. Plead my cause against the unfaithful nation. Remember those saying, where is your God? Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. God, rise up so that I can be with you. But why is my soul downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I know this has been a lot of reading today. I know this is not just me trying to trick you into getting your weekly readings in. I know sometimes, especially with the Psalms, I think there's value in letting the whole text speak for itself. Sometimes we need to see everything in there. And I hope that there's some value in looking at all of this. Because as I look at this psalm, I see these two psalms. I see somebody trying to find the words to, not just to communicate how they're feeling, but in some ways to figure out how they're feeling. Have you been in that place where you're in a place where you want to say something to God, but you're having a hard time expressing those words, or even trying to figure out what you're feeling? It'd be nice if it was so straightforward that you always know, this is the emotion, this is what I got. And sometimes when people talk about the Psalms, and I've probably done it myself, where you say, the Psalms have every emotion. Are you feeling happy? There's a Psalm for that. Are you feeling sad? Go to the Psalms. That's in there. Have you ever heard somebody saying that? And you say, but I don't even really know what label to put on my emotion here. I'm feeling mixed up. I'm feeling unleavened today. I'm struggling. Because there's these things that I know I should be feeling, that I know I've felt before, that I know I'm going to feel later. I know that I'm going to find my soul will find the relief that I'm looking for, that I will praise, and that I my hope is in God. But I don't feel like that's the song I can sing right now. Because I feel forgotten. I feel rejected. I feel downcast. And I don't think that sadness is the only type of feeling that can bring up this sort of confusion and this sort of muddled idea. I think there are a lot of times where we are trying to say something to God and we just feel like there are no words. When I was putting this together, I especially had in my mind a couple events from not this past week, the week before, you know, it would have been this past week if we had met last week. We had, on consecutive days, funerals that affected this congregation. And that's a time where you often hear this sort of statement of, there are no words. And there are two very different events, two very different feels in the room. But both times you had this sort of idea of there's not the words that we're looking for. We had a funeral for Sybil, a long life lived well, and we still had this idea of there's just what are the words to express a legacy of faith, a legacy of family. A way to describe a life in that way. And there are some of these ideas of not having the right words. And then the next day, we had the funeral for Jason right here. Very different feel. A life ended too soon at 40. And you heard this, where there are no words to say why, to say how we're supposed to feel. In fact, Adam Hill, who was the main speaker, he brought up, using almost exactly this statement, he was speaking to Jason's parents, and he was saying, there is not a word for your situation now. He said, if you're parents die, you are an orphan. If your spouse dies, you are a widow or a widower. But a parent whose child dies, there's not a word for that. That was very meaningful. And everybody had this feel of, I want something to say, but I don't know what the words are. Again, that goes to the sad side of things. Just been on my mind, and it's in the psalm, right? There are a lot of times that we want to say something to or about God, and we find ourselves in that dilemma of how do I, in my limited nature, say something about something, someone so unlimited as God, something so unlimited as emotions and feelings and the longings of the soul. And I think that this is where the Psalms do come in handy. And not in that standard color code them, here are the happy ones and here are the sad ones and here are the angry ones. And I think that the Psalms have some value not to say these are the words that you should say. Okay, I don't think that we should necessarily look at it as I'm sad. Here is the psalm for sad. This expresses exactly what I have to say. But I do think sometimes the psalms can give us a place to start. Now, as I'm going through Psalm 42 and 43, it may sound like I'm beating up on the songwriter of As the Deer, saying, you missed the point. I don't feel that way. What I see in that song as it was written, somebody started in a psalm and found some words that they found value to. They saw this image of the deer and the water and said, that makes me think about the good times. And even if it wasn't exactly what the psalmist was saying, it inspired that songwriter to express something very beautiful about the relationship with God. And sometimes you can go to the psalms, and it's strange when you talk about inspiration with the psalms, because they are unique in that they are not written as from God to the people. They're written as from the people to God, or people to people about God. So you say, well, how exactly is that inspired? And I think that what we can use these as is we can say, this is inspired speech to give back to God. And maybe you find something in a psalm that it may not be expressing the same idea as you're feeling. It may not be expressing the same emotion. You may not be in the same place as that psalmist, but you have chapter after chapter, psalm after psalm, of people trying to sort through their experience with God. We have all of these people doing the exact same things as us, but they are working through the relationship with this same God. And they're feeling some of the same things and trying to find words. You may never would have thought of the deer image, but it puts something in your head. So many of the other images might give you a place to start. You may only use one line, but it might get you thinking, writing, talking, praying. In a place where there are no words, sometimes we could use a little help. Right? And it might not always work. You might find yourself in a place where you read the Psalms forward and backwards, 1 to 150 and back to 1 again. You say, I still don't find anything exactly what I'm feeling. But I think there is still value in being in community over time and space with God's people. I've shared that I'm still learning to use the Psalms myself. And I think that I'm finding more and more value that can be found there. And sometimes it's just a beginning, a way of starting to describe the unlimited from our place of limitation. All right, I feel like I've reached that point where I'm about to start repeating myself, and none of us want that, if I haven't done it already. To close out today, I know in the past, as we've been going through the reading plan, when we've come to the Psalms, I've rewritten a psalm to try to update the language, and I started looking at that for this and decided that's not the way to go with this. I instead rewrote the song instead of the psalm. As the Deer is not based on all of Psalm 42 and 43. I reworked it so that I think it does get across the sense. This may be a huge mistake. I have often made fun of preachers who have rewritten songs, and they've deserved being made fun of, and maybe I will as well. But I tried to be faithful to what the psalm is doing. The first verse is almost the first verse is the same. The second verse tries to bring in some of the language from the psalm itself, and the third verse tries to bring in some more modern ideas of the same emotion. And the final chorus brings in that pleading of Psalm 43. So if you would, can we sing together? I think it's written clear enough that we can, if we practice the tune. And maybe this can get across some of the ideas of this psalm. So, I don't know how to pitch that. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Where, O Lord, is my strength, my shield? In you alone can my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. These tears I will ever seek you, while these waves crash over me. Could it be that you have forgotten? Don't ignore my agony. You alone were my strength, my shield. I feel alone, I want my pain be healed. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Flowers don't help, and the cards ring hollow. How can words repair my soul? Where's the voice that I once could follow? You alone can make me whole. Rise, O Lord, make your will revealed. My soul is dry, your streams have been concealed. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Just like the psalmist, whether you are remembering the presence of God or seeking it, we express that desire. This morning, if you are in that seeking mode, and if you need to share the hurt, if you need to share the joy, if you need to share anything with this congregation, please let us do that with you. If you are needing baptism, if you are needing to express to the congregation your relationship with God and the desire to deepen it in that way, please let us help with that. If there's anything we can do this morning, please let us know as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us